Fallout Equestria the Chrysalis, Chapter 22, Part 2. I stood, and forgetting about my own injury, winced as I put too much weight on my injured leg. A quick shuffle solved that, and I followed Dusty. He paused for a moment, casting a glance at my leg, but said nothing. We went inside. The house had once been nice enough, but it had come across hard times lately. The mine had done a terrifying amount of damage to the old structure, completely obliterating most of the floor in what had once been the entryway, and all of the walls that we could see were torn up, with holes ranging from barely visible to several inches wide. A few pieces of furniture lay nearby, upturned and scarred by the blast. The stench of the smoke filled the air, but as we moved further into the house, another fouler smell began to emerge. The raiders had ransacked the place, overturning and smashing furniture as they rummaged through the place for loot. The kitchen was badly charred, but the fire hadn't spread further. And then there was the final room that we entered. One which looked to have once been a pleasant place for a family to relax, now turned into a showcase of brutality. The room itself was wrecked, but it was the colt that I first focused on, or at least what remained of him. He was hung from the rafters by a rope tied around his rear hooves. His head was missing, and his upper chest was so torn up that one of his forelegs had been severed and was lying on the ground several feet away. Between the carnage and a couple of days of decay, it was hard to guess at his age. 10, maybe 12 at most? The couch that he was hanging beside was torn apart, and bits of debris covered the floor. In the dim light of the room, I first thought the debris was pieces of the cushion or other furniture. It was a couple of seconds before I focused on the pale curved fragment of a skull. His head wasn't missing, it was all right there, scattered about the room. Another foal hung opposite of him, suspended by a pair of ropes tied to their forehooves. I think it was a filly. She was at that age where it can be hard to tell just from the face, even before decay. More reliable methods of identification were impossible. Her body ended up where her hips should have been, while much of what had once been her insides now lay in a shredded mess beneath her. Her hind legs lay on the floor, with the curved shards of a destroyed pelvis still attached. All of that was enough to make me feel a little queasy, but the worst was her face. Her head was lolled forward, mouth hanging agape and eyes open. The expression on what remained of her decaying face seemed one of dull shock and distress. It was disturbingly macabre, as if she was still aware of the horrors done there. After that unnamed army depot in Paradise Beach, I had thought, or hoped at least, that I would never be surprised by the vileness that one pony could inflict upon another. But raiders continue to find new ways to horrify. I nearly jumped when Dusty's hoof gently patted my shoulder. "Take your time," he said, his voice quiet. I focused on him as he looked around the room. His eyes lingered on details, giving the impression of an immense sadness. But I saw a little deeper. I could see a bit of hardness in his eyes as he looked over the scene. We couldn't save these ponies, but we can damn well make sure the ponies responsible could never do this again. I steeled myself, standing tall and firm, and gave Dusty a nod.
"Okay, I'm ready."
Getting them down was a gruesome affair. Fortunately, Dusty had a knife, which we used to cut through the ropes. It was a far better alternative than to untie them with our mouths. If not for the knife, I would have been tempted to transform and use my magic, even if it risked Emerald discovering what I was. She seems like a reasonable mare. Explaining my situation to her seemed preferable to putting my mouth on those ropes. Plus, it seemed that she was good at keeping secrets. Sadly, I had a more important task at hoof than to ponder that fact. Dusty found a pair of blankets in the bedrooms. We bundled the foals up in them and brought them outside. The burial was a brief affair, without ceremony. We managed to find a pair of shovels amidst the heap of farming tools the raiders had ignored, and we dug a pair of tiny graves. I'll admit the digging went much quicker when Sickle got tired of waiting, shoved me out of the way and took up the shovel herself. Emerald claimed a couple of pieces of the broken fence to form simple grave markers, and borrowed Dusty's knife to carve a name into each one. Sage and Pebble. Starlight spent most of the time leaned back against the building. Looking groggy, she alternated between downing a second bottle of water and eating a pack of crackers. With the burial done, Emerald drew some water from the hoofed pump well and returned to Starlight's side, dunking a washcloth into the old bucket.
"Let's get you cleaned up a little, hmm?"
Starlight grunted quietly, setting her food and water down to let Emerald work. Slowly, the worst of the blood was cleaned away. I ended up doing the same thing Dusty was, keeping an eye out in case the explosion had drawn any attention. Thankfully, it was quiet. Starlight was mostly cleaned up when Sickle stepped up to her.
"Let me see."
Sickle rumbled, shoving Emerald's hoof out of the way, then nudging Starlight's chin back. Sickle frowned, then pushed Starlight's head to the side to look at the other side of her neck before releasing her again.
"Shit, that sucks. Don't even get a cool scar out of it or anything."
Starlight huffed out a breath that might have been faintly amused, and I think the corner of her mouth might have twitched upwards. Emerald resumed the cleaning, though she watched Sickle in her bloodstained snout.
You might want to clean up too.
Right.
Sickle said, chuckling.
Ain't seen me fight. Ain't no point in cleaning me up yet.
Rather than argue, Emerald merely shook her head and shrugged.
Suit yourself.
She said, returning to cleaning Starlight. Some 10 minutes later, we gathered around, with Starlight sat against the side of the house as Dusty appraised the situation.
Between the potions that we've already used and the bottles that broke from the explosion, this is all we have for arcane medical supplies.
Set between us was a single healing potion and 3 magic-laced bandages.
Got plenty of painkillers,
Sickle said with an armor-rattling shrug.
Useful, sure, Dusty said, but they don't stop bleeding like a potion does. The bandages are useful, but not nearly as good. Some pony takes a nasty hit, a potion might be the only way to keep them alive. 2 some ponies take a nasty hit, and one of them might not make it back home.
Right,
Sickle said.
Stop getting hurt, got it.
If only it were that simple, Dusty muttered. We haven't even seen these raiders yet, and we've already gone through most of our medical supplies.
I stared down at the small collection, feeling distinctly uncomfortable about the situation. I just downed 2 healing potions, and my legs still ached.
Are you suggesting that we go back? We can't go back,
Emerald said.
Quartz and Flint might still be out there. And besides, it isn't as if more potions are gonna magically appear in my store overnight. You cleaned out my stock already.
I'm not saying we have to turn around, Dusty said. Like you said, going back to Gemstone won't do us any good. Maybe if a caravan comes in, but how often do you see healing potions turn up?
Emerald thought a moment, then slowly shook her head.
Maybe a dozen or so over a whole year, sometimes more. Ponies tend to hang on to them. Maybe another settlement?
I asked.
Like where? Dusty asked. We might luck out and find a couple in Rust, but that's, what, a day or two there? Same back. Mereford would have plenty, but that's out of the question.
Raiders will have some,
Sickle said, grinning.
Funny how many dead ponies you find with perfectly good healing potions on them.
I gotta live long enough to use them, Dusty noted. Anyway, this isn't about some quick fallback to refit and try again. There's no quick resupply. Right now, the question is whether we continue on with the mission or we abort and spend the weeks or months we need to get adequate supplies for a second attempt.
Quartz and Flint won't have weeks or months,
Emerald said, her ears hanging low.
They might still be alive.
She turned a desperate look towards Sickle.
Right?
Sickle scowled, but her expression eventually mellowed as she shrugged.
Maybe. Depends on why they took him. If they brought him back to have fun torturing or putting on a show, then they're already dead. If they brought him back to be fuck toys, they might still be alive. Probably not, though. Depends on how rough they like to play.
She followed that with a dry chuckle.
And from what they did to those fools, I'm guessing they like to play plenty rough.
With a shiver, Emerald turned back to Dusty.
We can't turn back. Those ponies are depending on us.
I'm not saying we turn back,
Dusty replied, a bit of an edge creeping into his voice.
I'm saying the situation just got more dangerous, and every one of you needs to consider that before we move on.
We stared at the supplies in silence for a minute before Starlight spoke up, her voice quiet and tired.
I'm still going,
she said.
Least we can do is scout things out. Find the raiders, see if those ponies are alive, and heck, maybe Whisper could do her thing and sneak in. Take a look.
She blinked, casting a glance my way, then shook her head.
No, bad idea, but we can still look.
Are you going to be able to make it? Dusty asked.
Of course I can make it,
Starlight said, her voice rising, though a moment later she sagged against the wall.
Shit, Dusty, I almost died!
She swallowed and took a deep breath.
Yeah, I can make it. I'm going.
Dusty nodded solemnly and looked to me. I gave her a smile in reply.
As if you had to ask,
I said, gesturing a hoof towards Starlight. He looked to Sickle, who gave an exaggerated roll of her head.
Oh no, I might get hurt!
She drew in a deep snort, and spit out a disgusting glob of mucus and blood.
Of course I'm going! Fuck, I ain't killed a pony in weeks! And I need to murder the shit out of some motherfucker for that sneaky fucking trick!
With a sigh, Dusty looked back at the supplies.
Okay. Emerald, you'll be carrying those medical supplies. Keep them safe.
He looked back to Starlight.
Are you going to be able to travel?
Yeah,
she said, though I caught the hesitant tone to her voice.
I'll manage. Here.
Sickle rumbled, and something small and pale sailed through the air. Starlight yelped weakly as it bounced off of her chest, then fumbled with her hooves in a failed attempt to catch it. Sickle glowered at her, as Starlight bent over and picked up the object, blowing off the dirt and looked at the thick white tablet.
What's this? It's Buck,
Sickle rumbled.
Should keep you going for an hour or two.
Dusty's mouth opened to protest, but he hesitated, and eventually shook his head.
Well, I can't say it's the worst idea I've heard.
To me, the statement seemed to have an implied, but it's close. Starlight was frowning down at the tablet.
Maybe I'll just hold on to it. I can use it later if I need it.
Whatever,
Sickle said with a snort. Starlight tucked the pill inside of her bags.
Thanks.
We set out shortly after that. I expect we made for a rather pitiful sight. I was limping, not from pain, but from a desire to be gentle with my injured leg. Starlight tended to lag behind and weave a little, but every time her head would snap back up and she'd push on. Even Sickle seemed a little more lethargic than usual. To everyone's relief, we only traveled for an hour before Dusty decided that we were far enough from the farmstead to be relatively safe. We took up a spot in a small recess of a rocky hill, sheltered by the rocks rising to either side, and settled in for the night. After a quick meal, Starlight laid out her bedding right next to mine. We all settled in, except Dusty, who took the first watch. It was hardly a minute before Starlight slipped over, pressing close against my side. She was trembling. I shifted more to my side, slipping my splinted foreleg over her and tucking the blanket over both of us. She in turn buried her muzzle against my neck, muffling the faint sobs that accompanied her shaking. I held her close and tight, tucking my head in against hers until she slowly relaxed. Seems like that near-death experience for Starlight is really affecting her. I have a feeling that she's even gonna have nightmares about it. But anyway, let's get on to our heavenly donators. Top donators are 630, Peter Coulthard, Jay Tinman, Darkside, and Only One Thing. Raiden, Narwhals, Black Moonheart, Pastel Skies, Austin Rollins, CrazyColor557, Stu Hex, Swordbrother and Mordred, Omicron Lyre, Will, Chris, Twinkie, Dospo, Delta Omega, Jack Hadge, RuneScythe9852, Madman Stan, Leslie Perkett, Drake Love Dragon, Hudson Norman, Stephen Bingham, LineGuy12, Sorcerer Constantine, Hadzaza, Convair, and many more awesome people. Thank you all so much for watching this video and live life to the fullest.